Right, well, I just want to reiterate, if you're a guest with us this morning, you're ever so welcome to come and celebrate with the guys being baptized today. And I just love baptisms. My name's Stu, and I was baptized here, I think, about 5 years ago now. And since then, the shorts have got longer, which is always good news. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak for about 20, 25 minutes just to kind of explain a little bit about why did we just dunk six people in a sort of jacuzzi full of water there. And so I was sort of thinking to myself, how do I explain baptism? How do I sort of connotate what it means? And further to that, how do I do it through the medium of song? Ooh. So prepare yourselves. No, we're going to play the tape. Simon, play the tape. Feel free to join in if you want.
Come city yourself at home. Come city yourself. One of the family. We've taken to you so strong.
It's here, we're going to get along.
Half of you loved that, and half of you were cringing incredibly. It was great. Great, but basically, I thought that pretty much sums up what we did today in baptism. That, as made popular by the musical Oliver, baptism is basically saying to people, consider yourself part of God's family. And it's a family which spans all nations, which spans all ages, which spans every language, and it's amazing, all united by one Father who offers them a free relationship. And although it is, consider yourself part of the family, it has to be said, sometimes in this church it can feel like food, glorious food. And incidentally, if you are a student, there is a student lunch after the service, and you're very welcome to participate with us there. But everyone this morning is saying to the world that they want to start that relationship with Jesus. And actually, the whole symbolism of baptism is about dying to an old way of life, a life that was just self-focused, and raising to a new life, as you heard the people in the pool saying, that's a life with God. And so this morning I want to look at three characteristics of that relationship. Firstly, I want to say that it's a relationship of intimacy. Then we're going to look at it's a relationship that brings freedom. And finally, it's a relationship that gives purpose. But first I want to read just a little bit from the Bible that speaks a little bit about that relationship. And in the book of Galatians, I'm just going to read you a passage here which sort of sums that up. Paul writes this. He says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, and you have clothed yourself with Christ. When we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And because you are a son, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir." See, the relationship God offers is a relationship of intimacy. Now, I love getting together with my family, and as the shops have been telling us, Christmas is just around the corner. They've been saying it since July, but we're actually starting to believe them now. And if you are interested, it's 57 sleeps away. 57 sleeps until Christmas Day. And it's a great day of sharing food and fun and fellowship, of eating your own weight in turkey and stuffing. And then I love that bit where you kind of gather, you know, you can't move, you've eaten so much. And you sit down with the family to watch the Christmas blockbuster. And that's just great. And then the credits roll a short time later. And in our family, it's usually my gran who sort of poses the question to the room. "So, how do you go back to the future?" And we spend the rest of the evening explaining that one. But God invites us into a family relationship, and it's a relationship of intimacy, which, as we heard in the passage, we're invited to as sons. Now, I don't know how you see God. Sometimes if we were to ask people in the street, people might see God as actually sometimes quite distant, quite cold. Maybe they view him as a hard taskmaster. Others might say he's not interested in their lives. But the Bible describes God as a father, a loving father who's interested in the intimate details of our lives. And he invites us to join in a relationship, the relationship that we're celebrating, the guys today getting baptized, joining into, which is full of joy, intimacy, and in that loving family that we want to support them in as the church here at Emmanuel. But that's not always how God's people have related to him. And if we go back to the Old Testament, to the nation of Israel, God's people, we read of a glorious temple being built for God. It showed God's desire to dwell with his people. But because God was perfect, because he was holy, because he was the creator of the universe, and the people definitely had so much mess in their life, they couldn't have that direct access to God. The people had to interact with God through these sort of intermediary priests who would make sacrifices for the mess in their lives on their behalf. Now, at the center of this temple was the tabernacle, and that was the very dwelling place of God. It was separated from the outside world by a 60-foot-high curtain that was 3 inches thick. And not even these priests could get into there. It was only the high priest, once a year, could gain access to make sacrifices on behalf of the people. And it's a bit hard for us to sort of imagine that kind of context. We don't have many temples kicking about nowadays. But let's think about going into your local bank. So you go into your local bank, and you know there's lots of money there. We carry out our business knowing that the bank has lots of money. We don't get to see much of it, though, or access it directly. We have to do that through the bank staff who sit behind the desk and the glass wall there. They carry out transactions and payments on our behalf. Now, at the center of the bank, there's the vault, and that's got millions and millions of pounds in it. But even the bank staff don't have access to that vault. It's locked away behind timed locks and retinal scanners and little keypads and things like that. And it's reserved only for access by the bank manager at prearranged times. So all the money is locked away to prevent any unauthorized access. But that's not how God always intended to relate to his people in this sort of temple arrangement. And one of the clearest illustrations we have of that is when Jesus died on the cross. That curtain, that 60 feet high, 3 inches thick curtain, was ripped in two from top to bottom. It'd be a bit like going into your local bank and the manager saying, a new policy is now in effect. There's no more cashier desks. There's no more staff to take your payments and transactions. Instead, you can see the vault door swung wide open and you have free access to enter in. Woo, I hear you say. But the significance of Jesus' death for us and the guys who have been baptized this morning means that no longer did there need to be a barrier between God and his people. Finally, they could freely enter that presence. And in that verse we read at the start, it says it's a presence that there's the phrase that we can cry out, Abba, Father. It's a phrase that speaks of an intimacy and a closeness that's ours for the taking. And as heirs, we have the rights as sons to come close to God. Now, there's some amazing verses throughout the Bible. It'd spend a lifetime to really explore what it means to walk with God. And we heard some great testimonies, I think especially from June and Joe at the start, just speaking of a new life, walking with God. And it's a really practical thing. This isn't just theory. For the rest of our lives, the rest of these guys' lives, they're going to be walking on that journey. It's a journey that has just started, as George said. And it's a journey that goes on forever. So being part of the family means that we have an intimate relationship with a loving God. Secondly, it's a relationship that brings freedom. Now, we've seen that God invites us to be sons, but the passage also made clear that we didn't start out that way. We started out as slaves. It says slaves to the basic principles of the world. Now, if we're honest, there's always something which we live for. And if I think back to when I first came to university here in Durham, I guess I'd probably live... although I would say I was free, I was living for success, for wealth, for popularity, for people to like me. And yet, although I said I was a completely free person, these things were effectively my gods. And I lived to appease them, to honour them. We live, and that's how we all start out in life. We live lives apart from the God who created us, living without reference to him. And that's what the Bible calls sin. It's the thing that keeps us locked away in a self-centred relationship, away from God. And many people will sort of dismiss even investigating the claims of Christianity, even though it claims to offer freedom that we've been sort of singing out this morning. Instead, they see it that God's offering them a straitjacket, that actually a life deprived of freedom, because the tragedy is that many people see it as a life of rules, a life of religion, a life keeping the steps and trying not to go wrong. However, it's not the life that Jesus spoke of. And I just love the verse in Luke 4 where Jesus walks into the temple and he really declares what he's all about. It says this in Luke 4 as Jesus stands up. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You see, Jesus actually came to set people free, not to burden them with further religious rituals or rules that they had to follow. And it was amazing for people at times must have been to hear that, because they're used to this law, this religious code of ethics that they had to follow. They would accuse them whenever they put a foot wrong. But instead, Jesus is saying that there is an intimate relationship with God that brings freedom, that allows us to come into the presence of God without guilt or condemnation. We can come as we are. Now, one thing you can count on your family and those close to you to be is honest. And it's been remarked of late that after joining the workforce and having a desk job, I'm developing a little bit of a stomach. So guilty as charged there. Actually, Helen recently knitted a little bunny rabbit, which is going to baby Moorcroft when he arrives very soon. But this bunny rabbit does have nice floppy ears, but it does have a very pronounced tummy. And the comparison was made that in profile, it did look remarkably similar to me. So after comments like that, I've now joined the gym. And the gym it's great, actually. I really enjoy it. But, you know, if you've ever been in, you go in and you see this sort of array of running machines and exercise bike and generally just torture devices that are designed to make you leaner and fitter and everything. And actually, one of the offers we got in the gym was you get a personal trainer who can sort of put you on a program to get you fit. Someone that looks a little bit like George comes up to you, takes you around the machines and tells you what you should be doing. And you get a little card that keeps track of your progress. And you know you've got to do your 2 hours on the running machine that week or your 3 hours exercise bike. Otherwise, this personal trainer isn't going to be pleased. And we can often think about God a bit like that personal trainer. Someone where we have to work hard to please them. We have to earn our place before them to show we're good enough. But instead, with God, instead of bench-pressing our own weight, we kind of think about it like we have to put all these extra rules on. Things like, you know, we have to read the Bible, we have to pray, we have to do these good things and follow these rules for God to accept me. And even after years of a Christian, I find myself having to learn again and again that the relationship that God offers is completely free. And I want to suggest that God puts an end to us needing to earn our place before him. Instead, we become friends through God, through the only one who could get us there, God himself. And the amazing thing is, we did nothing, as Andrew was reading that verse out during the worship time, we did nothing to deserve that relationship. Tim Keller says, "True love is sacrificial, it's self-giving." And in 1 John, we read a little bit about the extent of God's love. It says this, "This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Atoning sacrifice, a bit of a Christian jargon word, but it means Jesus stood in our place, received the punishment we should have got, and allows us to enter into that relationship clothed in Christ, as we read earlier. The key to being a Christian is to accept that gift. Accept that we're not slaves to getting it right. And that when Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. That it really was. A little bit further in Galatians, it says, "For it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And the guys getting baptized today, we want to celebrate that they are in a relationship of freedom. It's about accepting what Jesus has done for us. And we sing some amazing songs about it. One of the lines in one of my favorite songs says this: "Grace pays my sin, calls me friend, pays my debt completely. Love rescued me, seated me with my King forevermore." A relationship with God brings freedom. And it means we don't have to work to end our place. And so we can be a member of God's family, not because of what we've done, but because of who we are. And finally, God offers us a relationship that brings us real purpose, real meaning to life. Many people will tell you that life has no ultimate meaning. But I think great wisdom comes from a proverb that says, "Without vision, we cast off restraint." Or in another version, "Without vision, we perish." In the 1940s, amongst the Second World War, the officer in command of a prisoner of war camp had sort of run out for the appeal for the prisoners to do. He didn't have anything left for them to do. And so he had a great idea. Rather than let them just sit around and plot to escape, he'd get them to move a big stack of rubble from one side of the courtyard to the other. When they'd finished that, the next day they had to pick up the rubble again and move it back to the other side. And they had to do that again the next day. And actually, within a matter of days, these hardened soldiers began to attempt suicide. Why? Because we were meant for purpose. We were meant to live a life of meaning. And as Christians, we're invited to participate in the family business. It's a business of declaring that intimacy and that freedom to the rest of the world, where every member of significant is significant. And Ephesians 2, it said, God has prepared good works in advance for each one of us. And we were just praying and prophesying over some of the guys who were baptized there today, and hopefully some of you have received some pictures, some keys that God's got for that journey, which I can't remember if it was Alex or George said at the start, it's a journey that starts now, but it goes on forever. This is just the very beginning. And the exciting thing is we get to work with God to change this world. Because as we saw, as we sung this morning, Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. And as Jesus was resurrected, and that's what we're symbolizing with people coming out of the water in baptism, there was a knockout blow that was dealt to death. A knockout blow that meant that a new world order had started. Back to our image about the curtain being torn in two. One thing is that we get to draw close to God. The second thing is that it allows God's presence to go out into this world, and he promises to go with us to the very end of the age. And so, as a family here, we're all about talking about God's freedom, God's intimacy, that relationship that's possible for every man, woman, and child in this world. And we do that practically. We talk about this relationship of freedom, intimacy, and purpose in real ways. We go into the world, and as a church, we're involved with things like debt counseling, with giving companionship to the lonely and needy, to going out and engaging with the youth, the poverty-stricken, those in need in our society. We want to talk to people about a glorious relationship that the Creator of the universe has for each and every one of us. And so I just love just celebrating that this is the very beginning for six individuals that have stood here this morning and declared that they want to start that relationship with God. And what I want to do is just pray a bit over those great truths that relationship holds. It is a relationship of intimacy that we can draw close to God. It's a relationship of freedom that means we don't have to earn our place. And it's a relationship of purpose that each and every one of us has good works prepared in advance for us to do. So what I want to do is I want to pray now over all of us. And once I've finished praying, I'd just like the band to come back for one final song, because I want to give just another quick chance for people to respond to the offer this morning. We tend to think that we have to sort our lives out before we come to God. But God really, it says in the Bible, there's only two things we really need to become a Christian. It says, repent and be baptized. Repent is another one of those Christian jargon words, but all it really means is a change of direction. And we all start our lives going one way, going our own way in life, slaves to the principle of this world. But God invites us to turn around from that way, to do life with him. And so that's all it takes. It just takes a desire to change that direction, to walk with God. And the second thing is be baptized. And we've got the pool, we've got the water here. And we'd love to stand with you this morning and celebrate the start of a relationship that starts now and goes on forever. A relationship of intimacy, freedom, and purpose. So I'd ask the band to make their way back up, if that's okay. And I just want to pray over us now and just tell those truths. So I'm going to give you just another quick chance to respond to that. So Lord Jesus, I thank you that you offer us a relationship of intimacy, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for people here that have been walking with you for maybe many years. Maybe they've realized in the first instance that you offer 24/7 access. But Lord, I pray that we would be a people who make use of that access, who draw close to you. And Lord, I thank you that as we draw close to you, you draw close to us. So Lord, I praise you that we can be a people who just dwells in your presence with the creator of the universe. And Lord, I want to thank you as we start worshiping now, Lord, that we can just come and just bring everything to you. Lord, I thank you you're a God who brings real freedom and meaning to life. And Lord, I want to pray for those amongst us who maybe are feeling a bit tired, maybe are feeling a bit like that life's just weighing them down a bit. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that you would just confirm again that they have significance and purpose, and that you have great works prepared in advance for each one of us to do. And Lord, finally, I want to pray for people who maybe have come to support a friend or family or just come here for the first time. And Lord, who've never heard that you are a God who freely offers relationship. That we don't need to clean our lives up enough before you'll accept us. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that you would speak to people today. And Lord, if there's anyone here who thinks that actually, they've tired of going on life their own way. They want to start that new life, walking with you. Lord, and I pray that you would just speak to them today, and Lord, that you would give them the courage to come forth and to step into the waters of baptism, to begin that relationship which starts now and goes on forever. Thank you, Lord.